This talk was given last Sunday by a high councilman in his assigned ward. I feel impressed to share it with you. The title of the talk is Know the Lord. How may we come to know the Lord? Let's consider some possible next steps. The Lord said, "The thing which will be of most worth unto you will be to bring souls unto me." Doctrine and Covenants, section 15, verse 6. How can we bring someone to a place we have not been to, or to someone we are not with? We are taught to stand as a witness of Christ. How can we do that with power unless we know him? When our prophets say, "I witness of the living reality of Jesus Christ," what does that mean? Doesn't it mean that they truly know him personally and the joy of his redemption? The Savior said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Today the word "of" means about. Learn about me. The 1828 Webster Dictionary features "of" as meaning from. Learn from me. Can we learn directly from the Lord? President Nelson said, "In a coming day, only those men who have taken their priesthood seriously by diligently seeking to be taught by the Lord himself will be able to bless, guide, protect, strengthen, and heal others." April 2016, General Conference. To do this, we must know his voice. "And whoso receiveth not my voice is not acquainted with my voice and is not of me." Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 52. We must hear and know the voice by which we are called. "For how knoweth a man the master who is a stranger unto him?" Mosiah chapter 5, 12 and 13. I've asked my grandchildren, "When I call you, how many words do I speak before you know it is me?" Most said, "One or two, Grandpa." Why? Because of the tonality, the cadence, the punctuation, the deep pitch, and other qualities. The texture of the voice of the Lord is distinct. Do we know his voice? We must, if we are to be taught by the Lord himself and know him. Another way of knowing him is by spending time with him, pondering, praying, seeing with an eye of faith, and in service to his children. We know that through ministering and sharing the gospel, he attends us and brings charity, the pure love of Christ, and its unspeakable joy. One beautiful way to spend time with the Lord is to accept his invitation to walk with me. Moses chapter 6, verse 34, Moses chapter 7, verse 69, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 49. Though initially symbolic, this path may become quite literal, as President Eyring encourages in this conference talk, April 2017, General Conference, Walk With Me. Another thought. We learn to seek the companionship of the Holy Ghost. Then we learn to seek his constant companionship. This pattern also applies in our relationship with the Lord himself. John chapter 14, verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he abide with you." This comforter is Jesus Christ. Consider that abide with you means companionship, though it may be unseen. The Lord may attend us from time to time or more frequently. See the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, page 150 and 151. Then verse 23 reads, Jesus said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. As the quality and frequency of his companionship increases, he takes up his abode with us in this life. John chapter 14, verse 23. We have his constant companionship. He moves in with us. He sits with us and sups with us. Revelations chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, and we get to know him pretty well. During a visit, my daughter's gospel doctrine teacher asked, What prophecies are left to be fulfilled before the second coming? I remembered that the Lord made a covenant with us that many will know him and see him face to face before he comes in his glory. In Jeremiah, the Lord said of our day, Behold, the days come that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I did bring them out of Egypt, which my covenant they break. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord? For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. See also 3 Nephi chapter 5, verses 24 through 26. The Lord later clarified this new covenant in section 84. He said, Until all shall know me who remain, even from the least unto the greatest, and shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, and shall see eye to eye. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 98. Even the least of us who remain or survive the end times tribulation shall know him, see eye to eye, and be taught his law by him. The second coming will be a great day for those who already know him. The new covenant leads us into his presence in this life. Jesus went on to say this about the new covenant in Doctrine and Covenants, section 84. And everyone that hearkeneth to the voice of the Spirit cometh unto God, even the Father. And the Father teacheth him of the covenant which he has renewed upon you, and the whole world lieth in sin. And by this you may know they are under the bondage of sin, because they come not unto me. Because you have treated lightly the things you have received, which vanity and unbelief have brought the whole church under condemnation. And they shall remain under this condemnation until they repent and remember the new covenant, even the Book of Mormon. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 47 through 57. Is this one of the things President Nelson was recently imploring us to repent of daily? April 2019 General Conference, we can do better and be better. And do it now because time is running out. April 2019 General Conference, come follow me. Why is the Book of Mormon called the New Covenant? Because many who learn this covenant path taught therein have received the blessing of the new covenant to know Jesus personally in this life. The old covenant was made with the house of Israel to bring them back into his presence face to face, which they rejected. The new covenant is made with us, the house of Israel, today. Will we reject this new covenant? President Eyring recently quoted Doctrine and Covenants, Section 84, verses 20 and 22, April 2017 General Conference. May I share the full context of this passage in Doctrine and Covenants, Section 84, verses 19 through 24. And this greater priesthood holdeth the keys of the mysteries of the kingdom, even the key of the knowledge of God. Therefore, in the ordinances thereof, the power of godliness is manifest. And without the ordinances and the power of godliness is not manifest unto man in the flesh. For without this, no man can see the face of God and live. Now this Moses plainly taught to the children of Israel, and sought diligently that they might behold the face of God, but they hardened their hearts and could not endure his presence. Therefore the Lord swore in his wrath they should not enter into the fullness of his glory. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 84, 19 through 24. Though they heard the audible voice of God inviting them to come up and behold his face, Exodus chapter 19, they said, "Thank you, no, that's for prophets. We will stay here and you go up, Moses." Truman G. Madsen, BYU Devotional, September 20th, 1994. The unbelief of hard-heartedness left them without the greater priesthood and with the lesser portion. Alma said, "And therefore he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth the lesser portion of the word. And he that will not harden his heart, to him is given the greater portion of the word, until it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God, until he know them in full." Alma chapter 12, verse 10. Can we receive the greater things unless we believe we are supposed to receive more? Elder Richard G. Scott taught us a decade ago that when we receive revelation in prayer, we should ask, "Is there more?" October 2009, General Conference. Here is wonderful evidence that many did believe and did see and know more. Moroni said, "And there were many whose faith was so exceedingly strong, even before Christ came, who could not be kept from within the veil, but truly saw with their eyes the things which they had beheld with an eye of faith, and they were glad." Ether, chapter 12, verse 19. Some in our day are learning from the lessons of ancient Israel and are rending the veil of unbelief. By remembering the new covenant, many among us will see his face and learn from him before the second coming. The temple endowment provides significant witnesses of this truth. Moroni continues, "Behold, when ye shall rend that veil of unbelief which doth cause you to remain in hardness of heart and blindness of mind, then shall the great and marvelous things which have been hid up from the foundation of the world from you, yea, when ye shall call upon the Father in my name with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, then shall ye know that the Father hath remembered the covenant which he made unto your fathers, O house of Israel. Ether, chapter 4, verse 15. One paralyzing kind of unbelief is a false belief that we are not good enough. I thought for years that the Savior could never stand to be around a sinner like me. His mortal life testifies otherwise. He ministered personally to sinners just like us. Do we realize he did not just pay for our sins? He actually experienced all the sickness, depression, evil, and filthiness of the world. Do we really believe he does not want to hug us right now because of our past sins? He never has and never will abandon us, especially the least of us. Years ago, I realized that when the Savior appeared to the Lehites, he invited them one by one to come and see and feel the nail prints in his hands and feet. 3 Nephi 11:14 through 17. How many of them did that? The scripture says all. I wondered, would I have had the confidence to be in that line or run off and hide? How many of those 2,500 were perfect? How many were worthy to stand in his presence? Dare I say not one of them considered themselves worthy? And yet he beckoned them to come and see for themselves, that they may witness to all who heard their words that he was the living Christ. Is he inviting us to come forward? Is he beckoning to you? I love the original painting, Doubting Thomas, by Alban Veselka, located in the foyer of the Denver Temple. It is a picture of the Savior showing the print of the nail in his hand to Thomas. His eyes proclaim, "It really is me. I did this for you. In spite of your unbelief, I want you to see and feel that you may know and never doubt again that I am alive. My love for you is real. My sacrifice for you is real. I am the Messiah, and my promise to you of forgiveness and of eternal life is everlasting." Sisters and brethren, deep personal revelation and restoration are hastening right now. President Nelson said, "We're witness to the process of restoration. If you think the church has been fully restored, you're just seeing the beginning. There is much more to come." Russell M. Nelson, October 2018. He also emphasized, "How long can rolling waters remain impure? What power can stay the heavens? As well might man stretch forth his puny arm to stop the Missouri River in its decreed course, as to hinder the Almighty from pouring down knowledge from heaven upon the heads of the Latter-day Saints." Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verse 33, April 2018, General Conference. Are we to bear witness of the sacred things we receive? The Lord said, "Blessed are ye inasmuch as you receive these things. that you remain steadfast in bearing testimony to all the world of those things which are communicated unto you. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 60 and 61. Nephi said, "Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh." 2 Nephi chapter 4, verses 16 and 21. A final thought. Can we really know someone if we have never heard them, seen them, and talked with them face to face? Can we bear full witness of someone we have never met? There are dozens of promises scattered throughout the scriptures of the following type. We may not notice them because unbelief keeps us from realizing that they are for us right now. "Wherefore I am in your midst. The day cometh that you shall hear my voice and see me and know that I am." Doctrine and Covenants, section 50, verses 44 and 45. I love Alma's witness. "Behold, many have tasted as I have tasted, and seen eye to eye as I have seen. Wherefore they do know of these things of which I have spoken, as I do know." Alma 36, verse 26. The prophet Joseph Smith said, "There was nothing made known to the prophets but what will be made known unto all the saints of the last days as soon as they are prepared to receive." Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 237. The prophet Moroni left no doubt he knew Jesus. I add my witness of the reality of the living Christ to his. "And then shall ye know that I have seen Jesus, that he hath talked with me face to face, and that he told me in plain humility, even as a man telleth another in mine own language, concerning these things. And now I would commend you to seek this Jesus." Ether chapter 12, verse 39 and 41. I witness that these words can be reality for all of us as soon as we are willing to believe. May we be empowered to truly bring souls unto Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.